they've concocted a device that after 15 minutes I'm either off the stage or the lake of fire will open up beneath me and swallow me up. Our theme for this synod is, Sir, we would see Jesus. John chapter 12, beginning at verse 19, the Pharisees therefore said to one another, You see that you are not doing any good. Look, the world has gone after him. Now there were certain Greeks among those who were going up to worship at the feast. These therefore came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and began to ask him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip came and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip came, and they told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Indeed, the whole world was seeking Jesus. For these Greeks that come to him, seeking him, these Gentiles, these non-Jews, represent the hunger of the whole world for redemption in Jesus Christ. They came seeking the Lord to find his mercy. Now, after the wonderful sermons we've had this week, I knew I had to come up with something fancy besides my clothes to dazzle you with, because the sermons have been, haven't they? Thanks be to God, the Word of God has been shared with us. And so I decided that I would use four Greek words to impress you. I was up all night, I took a crash course in Greek. But the first is most familiar to us. It's the word eleison, meaning mercy. When we seek Jesus, we find him firstly on the cross, pouring out his mercy upon us. Having taken for us the wrath of God, he then pours out from his heart the mercy of God. But so many people believe that when we seek God's mercy, we are seeking a judicial mercy, the type of mercy that one receives from a judge. That's not what this word mercy means at all. It's not a judicial mercy, but a medicinal mercy. It's the type of mercy that one receives from a physician, a divine physician. It has the same root word in the Greek as a healing ointment that is rubbed into a deep wound. And so when we cry out, Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. The mercy that we are receiving is the Lord's healing. Indeed, Jesus shall come as judge, to judge the quick and the dead. When I was little, I thought that meant if you were quick enough, you could get away from the judgment. But he's not in the world now as judge. He's in the world now through the Spirit as physician, as the healer of our bodies and our souls. And so we cry out in seeking Jesus, Eleison, have mercy, O divine physician, healer of our souls. How do we come then to see Jesus today? Well, that leads us to the very goal of Christian life. What is the goal of Christian life? Having received the mercy of God, the healing of God, this healing ointment that is rubbed into the deep woundedness of our souls. What is it then that our heart seeks? What is our goal? So many believe that the goal of the Christian life is to attain heaven, but this is not the goal, but a fruit of the goal, albeit a wonderful fruit. The goal of Christian life is in the Greek theosis, T-H-E-O-S-I-S, for those who are taking notes, T-H-E-O-S-I-S, theosis, and it means to have fellowship, koinonia, a word that we'll look at in a little bit, to have fellowship with the living God, our Father, in His Son, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. In 1 John chapter 1, I grabbed this Bible today. I packed my Bible. I grabbed this going out. I said, oh, these evangelicals aren't going to like it if I show up without a Bible. I better come with a Bible. So I came down with a Bible and I opened it up and I looked on the right side and it was all in French. But thanks be to God, although I don't speak in tongues, I read in tongues. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you also may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And that gift through the Holy Spirit, that fellowship with the Father in His Son, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, is the very goal of life. We seek a personal, life-giving, life-changing relationship with the living God in His Son, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. And of course, this is conveyed in many ways. And unfortunately, since 6 minutes and 5 seconds have gone by, we don't have time to look at the first two. And that is that there are three primary ways. Now, there are many other ways, including, of course, prayer and ministry. These are ways in which we share through the Spirit in Christ and in Christ in the Father. But the three primary ways are through the fellowship of the church. Christ Jesus is present in a special way with us whenever we gather. Someone was preaching on that just yesterday. I think it was the bishop, Michael. Yeah, well, that's a good one to quote. Yeah. Michael Nazarelli said, with the gathering of the church, you know, when two or three are gathered, I am in their midst. And I think, Lord, weren't you with me this morning when I was by myself? Of course He was. But He's present in a special way in the ecclesia. There's another Greek word. I wasn't even going to have that one. Now you're even more impressed. The gathering of the church. He's present in a special way in His body because He is the groom and we are the bride. And a groom is united with his bride. Of course, the second way is through the Word of God. For the Word of God is not simply a document, but is living and true, and there's power in the Word of God to change hearts and to deliver us from temptation, to grant us the forgiveness of sins, to wash us in the blood of Christ Jesus. And of course, the third way is through the sacrament of our Lord's body and blood. And this will be a shock to you, but that's the one I've chosen to speak on. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16. I love preaching with evangelicals because when you give a verse, the first thing you hear is the zipper. Zzz, and then the flipping. I love that. So 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16. Paul says, is not the cup a blessing which we bless, a sharing in the blood of Christ? Now listen to those words carefully. Is not the cup of blessing which we bless? And of course, when do we bless that? When do we bless that cup of blessing? It is on the holy table that we bless it. Is not the cup of blessing which we bless, a sharing, in some translations, a partaking, in other translations, a fellowship, and in the Greek, a koinonia with the blood of Christ. Now, this word koinonia, when we say sharing, partaking, these are very lame English words for the Greek here. This word koinonia means a most intimate fellowship. And I've actually been told by physicians that it actually has the same root as the word for, we will assume, a husband and wife. Coming together, is everyone in this room over 14? Anyone under 14? Coming together, are you? Well, okay. Well, you're going to hear something new today. Coming together in sexual union, coming together, where the two are no longer two, but one. And here Paul is saying to us that when we partake in the blood of Christ, we are united in such an intimate way with Christ that we are, as a bride, united to her groom, where the two are no longer two, but one. They have become one flesh. And there is no greater intimacy that we understand than the two becoming one in holy matrimony, and that spiritual oneness being lived out in the sexual union. Now I'm going to stop saying that word sexual union, because that's all you'll remember is the sermon, that priest who kept talking about the sexual union. But that is the most intimate union that we have, and Paul uses that. And then in that culture, what was, besides that word, union, the most intimate thing that you could share with someone, and that is fellowship at a meal. And so he takes these two analogies and puts them together, and he says, it's not the cup of blessing which we bless when we gather together around the holy table. Okay. In God's language, the altar, when we gather there, that we have that fellowship. And then Paul goes on to say, it's not the bread which we break, and again, when do we break it? But when we gather together around the holy table, a koinonia, a most intimate fellowship in the body of Christ. How incredible that is. I mean, we could put all the arguments aside of you know, how is he present? Because the Lord never meant us to go there anyway. And we can just focus here on the Word of God and know that when we partake in that which has been blessed on the holy table, as we gather as the bride of Christ, we are being joined with the groom so that the two are no longer two but one as we share in that fellowship. And now I want to turn to the next chapter, chapter 11, beginning at verse 23. And Paul says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. Now that is a marvel. That is incredible. I received from the Lord, and now I'm giving this to you. Well, this must indeed be an important teaching, because Paul did not know Jesus prior to his resurrection. Paul didn't know the earthly, for lack of a better term, Jesus. He wasn't at the Last Supper. And so he is saying, I have received this from the Lord. And that is incredible. That means that in these mystical conversations that he had with the risen Lord that he alludes to elsewhere, that this is what the Lord conveyed to him to be given to us, the church. That means it must be something of great importance that Jesus wishes to have communicated to us. Jesus didn't appear to Paul and simply chew the fat. Do you have that term up here, chew the fat? And so what does he say? I received this from the Lord, and now I deliver it to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, that also a Greek word meaning Eucharist, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Now, when I was in seminary years ago, we'd argue over these things all the time, is he present or not? And I'd often quote Martin Luther. In fact, it was the only time I quoted Martin Luther. But I would say, this is my body, this is my blood, what is it that you don't understand? And then my friends would come back and say, ah, but do this in remembrance of me, you see. That's as if you take out an eraser and erase the first half of everything that was just said. And I said, exactly, you see, that word remembrance is the word anamnesis. And it means to make present anew. Now, we're all clear, high, low church, we're all clear that Christ is not re-sacrificed on the holy table, right? Amen. There's one sacrifice for the propitiation of sins, right? That's such a good line. We should put that in the Eucharistic prayer. Take care of that, Paul. Will you put that in? Thank you. Anamnesis means to make present again in a new way. Now, the Jews understood this when they would celebrate together as families the Seder meal. They didn't simply believe that they were recalling salvation history or hearing the story of the mighty acts of God. They believed that they actually, through anamnesis, were becoming what? Partakers in the story of God, the salvation of God, the deliverance. They themselves were being delivered from bondage to freedom. And it's in the context, in the Synoptic Gospels, it's in the context of the Seder meal that Jesus then breaks the bread and says, "This is my body. Do this in remembrance and amnesis of me." That is, by partaking in this, you are partaking in the Passover, which is what? Full circle brings us back to the beginning of the sermon. The cross of Christ. The mercy, the eleison of God in Jesus. The healing, the forgiveness of God, which is ours in Jesus Christ. We become participants in that. And so often when I come to see the Lord in that special way through the gathering of the church koinonia, the body of Christ, and to open my heart to the power of God's word, and then to approach him in the blessed sacrament, to cry out as I come forward, "I would see Jesus. I would see Jesus." Thanks be to God that we've been so blessed to gather together as the body of Christ. And as his bride, to be joined to our groom, so that the two are no longer two but one. And to partake in him in the Holy Eucharist. Now in the United States, 17.26 means 15. Is that right when you do the exchange? Right? It's about 15. God bless you.